So often when Christian folks talk about eternal life, the conversation immediately goes to and is dominated by this one question of, are you saved? And I think this is because, in this way of thinking, this life is primarily about accepting Jesus, being saved, so that you can get to heaven. And then any hardship or trouble in this world, well, it's simply something that must be endured until the day when we leave the earth behind and get to heaven. The focus really is on life after death, not the present condition of the world, because the assumption is that going to heaven involves leaving the world behind, right? And why would we worry too much about a world we're going to leave behind? But when we talk about salvation, I think we ought to look at this just a little bit differently. There ought to be at least as much talk about relieving suffering in the here and now as there is about going to heaven when we die. The difference, I think, comes from a fundamentally different understanding of what heaven looks like. Because if heaven is some far-off, cloudy paradise somewhere to which we hope to be evacuated someday, then you get a very different perspective than you do if you take your cues from, like, the book of Revelation, say, where heaven happens here, when all of creation is made new, when God restores all that God has made into the paradise that God intends it to be. When all sorrow and death are removed from this world, when God's will is done everywhere and by everyone and everything, well then, at that point, the kingdom of heaven is here. And this is more the way Jesus talks about heaven. One of the first things he says, after all, when he shows up and starts preaching, is that the kingdom of heaven has come near. What if that's not about our sense of time, like the kingdom will be here in a few minutes or a few years or whatever? What if the nearness of the kingdom that Jesus is talking about is a physical closeness, like the kingdom of God is coming to a neighborhood near you? The kingdom of God is coming to this world. That would make an awful lot of sense with the whole life of Jesus. I mean, what is the incarnation all about? It's not about God rejecting flesh and the mundane stuff of creation. It's about Jesus becoming flesh for the sake of redeeming creation, making it new. The Jesus story is about the process of bringing heaven down to earth. First, one healing at a time, finally on the cross for all. And so maybe in our perception it happens slowly at first, on a small scale. But the kingdom of heaven is here, and it's coming. Maybe it's like that mustard seed at first, right? Teeny, hard to even perceive, but growing, and will keep growing until it takes over everything. Maybe it's like the yeast, right? Even with the tiniest amount, it will spread until it leavens the whole batch. And if there are these pockets of the kingdom of heaven already breaking into this world, well, that means we don't have to wait until we die. We can be part of what God has in store for creation in the here and the now. It means that if we can land ourselves in these pockets and work with the yeast of God to experience and expand the life of the kingdom now, well, then we don't have to wait. And I do think that there are these moments of the inbreaking of the kingdom of God in our world. When you hold a baby that's smiling and cooing at you, making eyes at you, I have to think that's part of the inbreaking of the kingdom of God. When 30,000 young people gather like ours did with those in Houston, in service, in song, and in prayer, I have to think that's an inbreaking of the kingdom of God into this world. When in love and support, people provide a meal after a funeral for a grieving family simply because they want to show their love, that's the kingdom of God, isn't it? Breaking into this world. And we could name more examples. But to be clear here, we're not just talking about anything we find enjoyable or pleasurable, right? We're talking about the places where God's will is done among us. The joy of new life, a baby. I think that's God's will. But is it always fun and pleasant? It is not, right? At 3 a.m. when that same little baby is screaming at you, it's not any fun. But caring for that life can still be God's will, and I think that it is. I think that's still God's kingdom. And the 30,000 of us who gathered in Houston a month ago, how'd they get there? How'd all those kids pay for this trip? The only way it happened is with the prayers and support of the hundreds of thousands of people back in their home congregations and their families who made sacrifices, right? Financial ones, to send them there. That's God's kingdom too. In fact, until we are transformed for and by the kingdom life, working for God's kingdom may be uncomfortable. Quite uncomfortable sometimes. Welcoming the stranger we're wary of, loving the neighbor that we already know we don't like. I think that is the kingdom of God on its way in, even if it's uncomfortable. In the 6th chapter of John that I read from a moment ago, Jesus continues to tell the people, "I am the bread of life." Not I will be, right? I am the bread of life. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood, not will have eternal life, have eternal life. Rob Bell, in a book that I'm reading right now, says of eternal life, "Eternal life doesn't start when we die. It starts now. It's not about a life that begins at death. It's about experiencing the kind of life now that can endure and survive even death." I think this is the kind of life we live when, filled by the presence of Jesus, we live out God's kingdom, God's will, right here where we are right now. And when we die, if the kingdom has not been fully revealed yet, then yes, absolutely, God holds us. We are in the presence of Jesus, and that will be wonderful. But what about this time that we're living? Are we killing time, treading water, running out the clock until we die or Jesus comes again? No, right? No. We heard from Ephesians a few moments ago. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time. Don't just sit around getting drunk all the time. Ephesians says, be filled with the Spirit. Today, we are going to pray with Ty that Spirit would fill him. Because after 2 years of preparation, Ty is going to confirm the promises that his parents and many of you made for him when we gathered here and he was baptized. And we're going to pray that the Spirit would be stirred up in Ty so that he would follow in the calling of his baptism to work for God's kingdom in the here and the now. We're going to affirm that in his baptism he is promised eternal life, both as a future hope, but also as a present reality in God's inbreaking kingdom. Jesus announces that the kingdom of God is at hand. If we are going to be part of that abundant life, well, there is some transformation that needs to happen in us. And this is the calling of our baptism, Ty's and yours, transformation. It's all throughout our readings today. From Psalm 34, turn from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. From Proverbs 9, lay aside immaturity and live, and walk in the way of insight. From Ephesians 5, be filled with the Spirit, sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Christian life, our calling, is not just about life after death. It's about being transformed for eternal life now. So in a few moments, come to this table, eat the living bread, and live, not just in the days to come, but in the here and the now. Make the most of the time. Amen.